All right, Ephesians chapter 1. This is a very common scripture in the church. This letter Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. And he's really trying to teach the church who they are. All right? Who they are in Christ. And it starts out, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 3, if you haven't gotten there yet. Verse 3 starts out and it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Not just one or two. Every spiritual blessing. Verse 4 says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made known, or he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to read the word. Thank you for letting us hear today testimonies of how the girls were touched and impacted by the time they spent. They separated themselves unto you, Lord God, for a time of learning and instruction. Thank you for the leaders. Thank you for the teachers, Lord God, that spoke into their life. Lord, thank you for receptive hearts, Lord. And I pray, Father, that today we would have those same receptive hearts to hear the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, in these verses, it tells us we are in Christ twice. We are in him three times. We are in love. In love. Think about that. In love. Now, I'm getting this from the New King James, so if you... or your version has a little different count, then that's fine. But it says we are in love. We are, we have been made. He has made us. We are in the beloved. We are, or he is for us or toward us. He's for us. And we have been made to be known by him. God loves us. This changes everything. These scriptures that Paul is talking to the church here about changes everything. And the scripture that I'm primarily going to look at today is in verse number 7. And it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood." We have redemption. Now, most people, when they go to church and they hear these words, they don't really stop and take the time to understand all of the ramifications of what this means. And so what we do is we take our limited understanding of what that might be to use that for our understanding instead of getting the full comprehension of what redemption is all about. I want to read you a definition out of the Strong's Concordance. And it says, redemption is a releasing effect by payment of ransom. It's a releasing effect by payment of ransom. Now, to put that in a way that we might understand a little bit, how many have ever dined and dash? Anybody? You won't admit it, will you? You're in church. Some of you have, okay. All right, so this week we would go in. We had the privilege of going to dinner a lot. You know, you should only go to dinner once a day, but, you know, there's several in the South. They like to eat. So we ate with them. But we would go in and we would eat. And sometimes, not every time, but sometimes different people would pick up the tab. And I was released from my obligation to pay. And I walked out of there. I didn't even think twice about, oh, maybe I should pay them too. Now, you guys, if I had paid them too, you probably would have thought, well, that was dumb. What'd you do that for? Well, because I was released from that because of whoever it was that paid for it. So I was released to walk out without fear of anything. I was redeemed from the obligation. When you read down through the list of things you want to order, and then they've got the calories, and then they got the price. Calories is always bigger. But you always have to pay the price, right? So that's the ransom. I can't get out until I pay that price. Jesus ransomed us. He paid the price for us. He paid the price for my salvation. It goes on and it says that he paid the price for our deliverance and our liberation. Our liberation. He paid the price with his blood. So, what the enemy has been holding over your head, maybe it's a past sin, past something that you did years ago, and the enemy keeps bringing that up, holding that against you, saying, you know what, you didn't fix anything. You're not changing anything. You're not changed. You're that same guy that did such and such years ago. We have been freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's go on and read some of these scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your fathers. Now just stop and think about that. How many of you have received some aimless, pointless, worthless traditions from your fathers? And yet, we still do them. You've all heard about that lady that was teaching her daughter how to cook a roast. And so she was showing her how to cook the roast, and so she got the roast out there, seasoned it all up, and then she cut off both ends, put it in the pan, and cooked it. And her daughter asked her, why did you do that? She goes, I don't know. That's the way my mama taught me. So she called her mama and said, Mom, why do you do that? Why do you cut both ends off of the roast when you put it in to cook it? She goes, I don't know. Grandma always taught me that. So they called Grandma. Grandma, why do you always cut the ends off the roast when you put it in the oven to cook it? Grandma says, well, that's simple. I just didn't have a big enough pan. All right, so religious traditions can be the same way. Religious traditions that we get ourselves into can be the same way. Why do you always do that? When I was a kid, it was always, always, always three hymns and a course. No variations. And then when we started variating, that's not the word. Changing that in the 70s, that was not easy because their pan wasn't big enough. They couldn't handle it. And we had all kinds of discussions over, well, why do we have to do that? Why do we have to stand up? When I first started leading songs, remember standing up there going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's the way we led worship. That really wasn't much worship. It was more me trying to figure out how to stay on beat than anything else. Religious traditions are in the church. And this tells me that we have been redeemed from, not with corruptible things like gold and silver, but we've been redeemed, verse 19, but we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This redemption is not something that you'd pay with your credit card. I'll take care of it later. No, this redemption is by the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You see, some of our traditions we think are eternal. Well, you have to do that. You have to do that. No, we don't. But the blood of Jesus, he shed it one time for all sin, having obtained eternal. He doesn't have to go back to the cross the next time I sin. And I will. You will. He doesn't go back to the cross each time. He's already shed his blood. And that blood is greater than any sin that you and I could ever imagine. Verse 13 says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. God wants us free from religious traditions. God wants us free from dead works, things that we're doing that just really don't help us spiritually. See, when we get stuck and caught in those religious traditions, we end up looking really, what is the word I'm looking for? Self-righteous. I'm better than you because I don't do that. My tradition is. And see, these religious traditions wrap us all up. But God wants to set us free from that by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in doing that, he sent the Father sent Jesus, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I have to receive the new traditions in Christ. And I want to make them tradition. I want those scriptures that we read in Ephesians to become tradition. I am blessed. I am blessed. I get blessed all the time. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am part of the family of God. I am a child of the living God. I am a child of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus. The same thing that Jesus gets, I get. because I am an heir with him. And so here's the thing, is in our scripture this morning, we read verse 9 says it, having made known to us the mystery of his will. He made known to us the mystery of his will. Because the will is contrary to the tradition. So let's look at the mystery of his will. And it says over in Romans or Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, it says, for where there is a testament, and a testament is the will, okay? A testament is the will. So where there is a will, it says that there must also of necessity be the death of the testator or the one who made the will. So as long as that person is still alive, then the will is not in effect. As long as that person is still alive, then that will is not in effect. But when that person dies, then the will goes into effect. All right? So it says, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead. Since there is no power at all while the testator lives. So as long as that person doesn't die, that will, everything remains the same. But Jesus died. Here's the exciting thing. It changes everything. Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Changed everything. Changed everything. And without the death, there is no life. Let me read this scripture to you. Very, very familiar. Most of you probably know this one. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. All right. How do you get raised from the dead? You first have to die, right? You can't be raised from the dead if you don't die. So, Jesus died, and God raised him from the dead. Now, see, if these elementary principles, if we don't believe these, if we don't believe that Jesus died, if we don't believe that he was raised from the dead, and we think that that's just what people say in church. If we don't believe it, listen, there's no salvation. Think about it. If you don't believe Jesus died, was buried, and was raised from the dead, how do you get saved? Because this says, you believe in the Lord Jesus in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if we believe that he died and was raised from the dead, and we confess Jesus as Lord with our mouth, we will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to open your mouth and come into agreement with what God said. You can't continue in the old traditions. Well, I've always been saved. No, you haven't. That's just not possible. That's not scripture. You have to believe that God raised him from the dead. And you have to believe and confess with that Jesus is Lord. Then it says you will be saved. So, tradition, oh, well, I've always gone to church. I'm saved. No, you're not. And I know that might make people uncomfortable. But if we don't get uncomfortable enough to make a change in our tradition, then the blood isn't going to really have an effect on our life. But if we're willing to say, you know what, maybe my tradition has been wrong. Maybe my tradition has been wrong because I don't believe that. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to believe it. But you can go to hell if you want. And you know what? God won't step in you and stop you. He's done everything he's going to do already. If we make the choice to ignore what God has already done for us, that's our choice. That's not God sending you to hell. That's you choosing to go to hell. But if we don't have the information, we can't make an informed decision. And so our redemption is based off of the understanding the mystery. Because you see, before Jesus, before the cross, it was all about works. It was all about, well, I did this and I did that. And they had a lot of tradition and a lot of things that they had to do. But now after the cross, there's still a lot of things that we need to do. But a lot of those things, well, none of those things make us right with God. It's only the blood. The blood makes us right. Our belief in Jesus. We need to be fully convinced in what God has done for us. Now, Paul says it this way. He says over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." This is a good study if you like to do word studies in the Bible, take a time and do a study on the gift of God. What is the gift of God that he's given us? Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now he goes on over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The question is, how do we get in Christ then? If in Christ I've been brought near, if in Christ I'm a new creation, if in Christ I am all of this stuff that Jesus said, how do I get there? Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Now, what does that mean? Believe in your heart. Faith comes by hearing, down in verse 17, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, if you go over to chapter 4, gives us a little better working definition of faith. And it says in verse 19, this is talking about Abraham and Sarah. And it says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." He took all the facts. He recognized them, but he didn't even consider them. Yeah, that's true. I'm 100 years old. Yeah, that's true. She's 90. But I'm not going to consider that. God said we're going to have a kid. Now, verse 20 says, "And he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief." Did not waver. What does that mean? He did not waver. He did not think one day, get up and think, "Oh man, I feel strong today. This is going to be the day." Or the next day, wake up, I'm feeling so good. I don't think it's going to work today. No, he didn't go back and forth. He wasn't like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. He believed the promise of God. Verse 21 says, and being fully convinced that what he promised, he was also able to perform. He was fully convinced that God promised him, and so God was able to perform it. He was able to do it. He was fully convinced. Now, are you fully convinced? Okay, fully convinced means there's no wavering. No, I'm not feeling it today. No, fully convinced is me telling you that the sky is orange. When I came in today from Odessa, the sky turned orange and it's still there. It's just orange. I don't know why, but it's orange. You would look at me like I'm crazy because you are fully convinced it is blue. Right? Anybody not fully convinced the sky is blue? It's blue. And nobody can talk you out of that. Nobody can come up and tell you that God doesn't heal anymore because that's all passed away. Are you fully convinced, or are you going to go, oh, well, yeah, maybe I, yeah, whatever. No, we need to be fully convinced. God doesn't save people anymore because heaven's getting full. So it doesn't matter. I mean, we're not going to make it to heaven because there's not enough room up there. Or are we fully convinced? No. God would that all men be saved. He has gone to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we can be. And he's going to come back and get us. Are we fully convinced of the promises of God? See, now that's being fully convinced. You're not being persuaded one way or another. That's what God wants us to be. Now, he goes on in his explanation of the mystery of the gospel. The gospel, that gospel was an amazing mystery to all of the people before the cross. Because they had so many hoops to jump through that it just was not possible. God did not send the law in the Old Testament to make people righteous and to forgive their sins. He sent the law to empower sin. Right? He sent the law to empower sin. It says over in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that the strength of the law is sin. Or the strength of sin is the law. Let me put it that way. So, he didn't send us the law so that we could get to heaven. He did it to open our eyes to the fact that we need Jesus. We need a Savior. We need somebody to take our place and redeem us. We need Jesus to take our place, pay the bill on the cross, shed his blood, and make us right with the Father so that I can go boldly before the throne of God with confidence. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. That was the great mystery. And he goes on and he says, there's so many parts of the mystery. I was looking them all up and, you can't cover them all. But it's just amazing the difference, the places that he has opened up the eyes of the traditions of men. Because he said in Galatians 3:28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Oh, yes, there was. in the Old Testament, there was a serious division between Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles. Serious division. There was neither slave nor free. Yes, there was. There was a big difference between slaves and free. And if you were one, you sure didn't walk and do the same things that the free did. When we were in D.C. this summer, we went through the museum for the Holocaust, and we were watching different things and learning about these things. And this is where, how many have heard of the ghetto before? Okay, most of us think, okay, New York, you know, the slums, that kind of thing. Well, the ghetto was where they put the Jews. And then they would build the bridge over the ghetto so that the non-Jews could cross to the other side without going through the ghetto and being infected by the Jews. There was a definite difference between Jews and Greeks, slaves and free. There was a definite difference between male and female. In the kingdom of God, there is no difference between male and female. Lisa can preach better than I can, and I'm not bothered by that. That's awesome. She is anointed to do that. But you know what? Then you couldn't do that because there was a male and a female. You had your role, they had their role. There were definite divisions. It says, in Christ, we're all one. In Christ, we're all on the same ground. In Christ, not one of us is better than the other. Now, saying that, let me explain. There are different roles in the body of Christ. There are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They're different roles. But we're all the same. Just because I might be the pastor doesn't make me better or have a better prayer life with God. Anybody can get in touch with God. You don't have to come to the pastor and say, well, you got a better line on God. He listens to you more. No, he doesn't. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know who you are in Christ? If you don't know who you are in Christ, let me tell you, there is no difference between Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. There's no difference. We are all one in Christ. We're all the same. We're all the same. I got one amen out of that. That was better than what you guys amened. All one in Christ. It's not the blood of bulls and goats, but its own precious blood that he poured out for us so that we can have life. We can be in Christ. And if I am in Christ, I am an heir with Jesus. So, everything that Jesus gets is for you. Everything Jesus did on the cross, everything God gave Jesus, everything that Jesus did for God, he did it for us. Mark Hankins said it like this: everything God did in Christ, he did it for us, and it is set to the credit of our account just as if we did it ourselves. I don't have to go back and pay the bill. I don't have to go back into the restaurant and say, I'm sorry, I left without paying. Here. I don't have to do that because Jesus already did that. And if Jesus did it, I don't have to. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Well, yeah, but you don't know what I did. I don't want to know what you did. I don't want to know. Jesus does. He knows. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. He'll take care of it. And he shed his blood once. He doesn't go back every time we mess up, okay? He died and shed his blood for our past sins, our present sins, and whether you want to believe it or not, your future sins. You probably will mess up again and sin. I know I will. I'm not perfect. But he's already died for that. He's already shed his blood for that. And you know what? He's already shed his blood for anybody in the world who has not made him Lord yet. He's already died for them. He's already forgiven their sins. He's already shed the blood for them. They just have to receive it. God's blood is so great. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Ephesians 2:8 said that we're saved by grace through faith. What is faith? Being fully persuaded that I'm saved. Being fully persuaded that the blood was enough. Being fully persuaded that it's not up to me to make up the difference that Jesus lacked when he went to the cross. Faith is believing and being fully convinced that I am washed in the blood of the Lamb and I am completely clean in him. That's grace. And I have to receive it by faith. So I'm saved by grace and I walk it out in faith. I am healed. Let me say this. I'm healed by grace, but I have to walk it out by faith. I am delivered by grace, but I have to walk it out by faith. Everything Jesus did is for us, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. So I have to believe it and receive it by faith. And when I do that, that changes everything. That changes everything. The enemy can't come in and remind you of that sin that you committed last week, last year, whenever, when you were a kid. It's under the blood. That changes everything. Now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, and the new has come. Amen? If you believe it, let's stand. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to come and listen to the word, and, Father, to be encouraged by you. Father, I pray, Father, that this morning, Lord, as we just kind of reflect and look back on our redemption. Father, for many of us today, this was just a rehearsal and a reminder of what you have done for us through the blood. But Father, maybe there's somebody here that's, maybe it was new news to them. And Lord God, they haven't done it yet. Lord, I just pray that today, that the word would begin to grow in their heart and they would make that decision to follow you, to believe in their heart, to confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. Father, and then they will be saved. They will be redeemed. They are purchased by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that. And so this morning, before we leave real quick, is there anyone that wants to make that decision? Or maybe you've never made that decision and you want to do it today. You want to make Jesus Lord and be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you today and let God redeem you like never before. It'll change everything in your life. Is there anyone? Amen. All right. If you're here and that's still stirring in your heart, grab somebody after church and talk to them and let God wash you clean. All right?